Christian greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. We certainly are thankful to be here again. Not necessarily up here, but I always enjoy to come to Alaska to visit the brethren and sisters here. This morning I'd like to look at a subject that everyone that is here this morning that has a mentality to understand between right and wrong faces. Every one of us. It doesn't matter if we're a father in the home, a mother in the home, a young person, everyone. And that is the thought of temptation. And I would guess that every one of you faced at least one temptation, if not 100, this past week to do wrong. I've entitled the message, Do You Know Who You Are? Do you understand who you are? If you don't, you'll soon discover, if you're tempted, who you are. Turn with me to Genesis, the 39th chapter. We know this account well. I'd like to use this as a backdrop for the thoughts this morning. Do you know who you are? Here was a young man in the 39th chapter of Genesis that met with a temptation. And it's a temptation that is real. And it's a temptation that we all face, sooner or later, give or take a degree or two. We face these things in life. And one of the things that I like to share at this point is that remember that through Joseph's life, a young man that had left home, not in his own accord, but by command of his father, he left home, went down to see his brothers, and his brothers hated him and cast him into a pit. As far as his father was concerned, that was the end of Joseph's life at this point. But he was sold into Egypt to a man named Potiphar, who was head of Pharaoh's security detail. The thing that I'd like for us to remember is the scripture says in this chapter, various times, I think at least five times, it says that the Lord was with him. We talked this morning about greater works we can do. John comes along and says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And don't ever forget that. You and I have the option. We have the ability, should I say, to receive that greatest power, regardless of the temptation that we face in life. We have a power to ride over that. Don't ever feel, well, the devil made me do it, and I just couldn't help myself, and I fell into sin. You did that by your own choice. Let me just turn to James 1 and clarify that thought. God's Word says in James, the first chapter, in verse 13, it says, Let no man say when he is tempted of God, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That we can say on the authority of God's Word, you and I are the culprits. We can never blame someone else. I have heard multitudes of excuses in life. The young person will say, because my dad was so and so, that's why I'm this way. Erase it. The Bible says you are accountable and responsible, each and every one of us. Or if my wife wouldn't have argued, I wouldn't have argued with her. Forget it. You're accountable. You are responsible. Each one individually. God's Word says, that's us. And that's why temptation is so real. Because it's within my being. I'm living with an Adamic nature. But I have to contend with that every day of my life. That old Adamic nature, that again, thanks be to God, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Coming to this chapter, Joseph was now brought down to Egypt. Potiphar was his guard, or was his officer. He was an officer of Pharaoh. Potiphar was the man that Joseph was a slave to, mind you, not his son, not his child, but a slave. The difference was that Joseph was a man of God, and God was with him. The Lord was with Joseph. And that fact makes all the difference, beloved, this morning. When you are faced with temptations of life, regardless to what degree, regardless what the temptation is, and you think, nobody will know. Especially way up here in Alaska. Those in the lower 48, they'll never find out, will they? But God does. God always knows what you and I do. There's nothing that escapes his eye. So erase that concept that no one will ever know. Joseph could have thought that. Here I am, a long ways from home. Here I am down here in Egypt, and my dad thinks I'm dead. Whether Joseph realized that or not, I don't know. But his father thought that. But here he was, a slave in Potiphar's house. But the Lord is with him. And Potiphar began to see, here's a young man that is abnormal. Here's a young man that is different than any slave I've ever had. Everything is prospering. My fields are prospering. My household is prospering. Everything is prospering because of this young man. And it must be because he serves the Lord. He's faithful to the Lord. The Lord was with him. But all of life was against him. But God was with him. And if you forget everything else, remember that. Regardless what temptation you face in life, if you're living for the Lord, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. They may think you're odd. They may think you're strange. They may think you're queer. That's all right. You're with God. But the battle lies within. The battle is real at times, more real than other times. But again, never blame someone else. Your parents or you, I just got some bad DNA within me. Temptation is the urge to do wrong that hits us in the place of our own personal weakness. And the devil knows that. Wherever you're the weakest, that's where he's going to hit you and bombard you with those tests of life and the things that come along. But again, don't blame someone else. It's not because there was some pleasant or exciting scene that all of a sudden was there, or some questionable relationship. No, no one makes a sin. We do. We need to remember that. We do. We make the choice to sin. I'd like to look at five principles quickly this morning. Number one principle, when things are going well, be on guard. Everything was going well for Joseph. Why, things were prospering. And his master comes along and said one day and says, Joseph, I'm going to give you my books. You take care of my finances. You take care of everything in the house. Except my wife. Now, whether he told him that, I don't know. But Joseph referred to that later. Joseph and Potiphar got along like two peas in a pod at this point. They got along well. Here was a young man that was handsome. A young man that probably stood 6 foot plus. A young man that had the world going for him. But it all lay because he was a man of God. That's where it lay. That's where the secret was. And he admired him. The Lord was with Joseph. Verse 2 to 4, you see it several times. And he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. So he puts Joseph in charge of all that he has. Everything. Remember, not everyone will understand you. Remember, not everyone will believe in you. Remember, not everyone will think well of you. That's immaterial. It depends what God thinks of you. And my life that's in tune with Him. God was with him. Nothing to remember. The world that is lost isn't ignorant of how you ought to live. There's many people out there that know exactly how you ought to live as a Christian. They wouldn't live it themselves, but they know how you ought to live. Nothing apart from that way. You know, he's seen that this man was different, and that's why he trusted him. God's blessings are all about us. And when we are enjoying the blessings of God to the fullest, then's when we often become complacent and take those blessings for granted. And that's exactly where the devil wants to strike at you when things are going well, as they were for Joseph. Victory and temptation generally go together. Ever been on a high plateau? Ever felt spiritually good? Felt God was blessing you? Then boom, you go to the bottom of the barrel. Victory and temptation generally go together. When everything is going your way, watch out. When you may think you've got the world by the tail, watch out. There's something ahead, and that's temptation. Be careful. Watch out. Take nothing for granted. Keep your eyes open. Second principle, when you are tempted, just remember who you are. It's exactly at this point that Joseph, in our minds, would seem that he's sitting on top of the world. That a new character enters into the story. You have that in verse 7. And it came to pass after the things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." We don't know her name. But the devil is using something to somehow throw this man off guard. Something to somehow bring a severing relationship between him and his God. The devil doesn't like that. And the devil doesn't like when you are living for the Lord. The devil doesn't like it when things are going well for you. She comes along, lays out a situation with unabashed directness. The Hebrew brings out, she lifted up her eyes at him. The Bible talks about the eyes can speak. The eyes can say a lot of things. She was watching him. She made eyes at him. As he was crossing the room, going about his business, I'm convinced she was following him with her eyes and probably a smile of satisfaction crossing her face. Here's a fine young man. Joseph looked like an excellent companion. But she didn't leave it there. Notice what his response was. Maybe she thought, well, he said no the first time, and so she kept on. Maybe she thought, he's scared. He's afraid of my husband, whatever. Notice verse 8, what his response was. This is where we come back to the question, do you know who you are? Are you able to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ? But he refused, verse 8, and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I." He was loyal to his boss. Joseph knew where he stood. His loyalty Even though for, I don't know, was it a year or two or how long it was, he was loyal to his boss. With me in charge, he told her, my master doesn't concern what he has. I have control of everything. No one is greater in this house than I am. I'm the greatest. But it's because he served the Lord. We would say today in our language, the Lord Jesus Christ. My master has kept nothing back from me. The second thing is, do you know who you are? Is in verse 9. Where he says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And that's where we continually need to come to. When a temptation comes our way, regardless what it is, remember, I can't do this because I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't go wrong here. It doesn't even enter my mind, will anybody find out? It didn't even enter my mind, well, will anybody see? Will anybody know? But I will think, how can I do this against God? Joseph did the right thing. He knew that adultery was wrong. He called it a wicked thing and a sin against God. But you know, nowadays we like to rename sin so it sounds less sinful. We're assaulted today with the gay rights lobby in an attempt to redefine sin. Am I convinced? Are you convinced that God has not changed? God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. But Christians are under great pressure because of even the Supreme Court. But just remember, the Supreme Court is not God. God doesn't change. The laws of the land may change, but God never changes. His word is true. God is dependable. There is a court that is higher than the court that sits in Washington. And that court of God is never divided. It is the triune Godhead. God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And so we believe the Bible. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It changes not. Nothing changes. God is the same. In our day, we need that infusion of the Joseph Spirit. To realize that the God of heaven is living within us through his Holy Spirit. But the world tries to change all that. Just remember, sin is still sin against God. And so she continued going after him and finally waited till the day that he was all alone. Then she probably thought, now I have him. No one else is in the house. If you read on down onto the verses there. Verse 12, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. You know, when a man belongs to God, it makes temptations a lot easier to bear. When you and I are in tune with God day after day, and we're not slacking up in that communion with God, and we're not thinking, well, how far can I go? To Joseph, there was no discussion needed. There was no messing around. He didn't flirt with trouble. He didn't think, well, how far can I go? He just said no. And that's it. The God that I serve says no to sin, and I believe him. I'm going to stay with him. I'm going to stick with him. He didn't apologize for saying no. And he didn't worry about hurting her feelings. I'm convinced. Brings us to the third principle. When you are tempted, act fast. Don't linger around. Don't think, well, you know, it's not so bad. Well, I'm not sure how far I can go. I sure hope nobody noticed. And a lot of other excuses. Scripture simply said, when she grabbed his coat, he left it with her. And he left. He was gone. Today, people are making a lot of excuses for sin. Today, people are coming along and saying, well, we're all alone. Well, that was true. Or they'll say, well, she made me do it. That could be true. Or they'll say, no one else will know. That's probably true. And maybe she's in a bad marriage. Who knows? Very possible. You know, I'm single. I have needs as well. Or I deserve this. Everyone fools around. But God doesn't understand that kind of thinking. God says it is sin, it is wrong to yield to temptation. He left the garment in her hand and fled and got him out. You know, when you're in temptation's way, just remember, no one else will get you out. It's a choice that you and I make. It's a choice that will have consequences. Never forget, the Bible says, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And today there's a lot of reaping going on because people couldn't say no to sin. A lot of reaping. Does that mean we can't live a victorious life now? Of course not. We can. Even though you may find yourself in a bad situation, as we call it sometimes. Even though you think it's hard, I just can't do it in the situation I'm in. Maybe you're in a home, you think you can't, you just can't make it. You have a choice to make individually. Remember that. Every one of us is accountable to God. When you and I get to the end of life, we won't be able to say, well, God, you know I was in a bad situation. God, you know that I had a father or mother that was wasn't right how they lived, or whatever excuse may use. I'm convinced God will say, but what did you do? What was your choice? How did you live? What did you do about it? If we are in tune with God before the temptations come, then we're ready for temptation. James says, calls a man to joy in divers temptations. Why? Because the strength there is there, the power is there within by the grace and power of God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have before made up our mind to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless what comes our way. So make up your mind in advance what you're going to do. It's too late to pray when you're in the middle of the temptation. There's a time to talk, and there's a time to stop talking. There's a time to stay, and there's a time to flee. There's a time to walk, and there's a time to run away. When temptation comes, move fast. God is never obligated to give you a second way out. Follow his word. The fourth principle. When you do right, don't expect a reward. You see that in Joseph's life. After this all took place, there was one person that was very unhappy. And that was Potiphar's wife. And two things happened in short order. Number one, she falsely accuses him. Just because you do right, remember, it's not always glamorous. And don't expect a reward. She made a false accusation. She accused Joseph of attempted rape. She even used racism words, this Hebrew that you brought in. Everything sounded plausible because here she had his coat, right? Did you ever have victory in a temptation and someone accused you for wrong? Sure. Expect it. Those things happen. Just because people don't pat you on the back doesn't mean you didn't do the right thing. Stay close to the Word of God. Stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ and follow His Word. That's what's important. The second thing that she did, that he didn't get a reward, Joseph is unjustly imprisoned. The Bible says that when Potiphar heard this story, his anger burned. I've often wondered about that. I tend to think he probably didn't believe his wife. But his anger burned nonetheless. Away you go to jail for doing right. Isn't that something? You go to jail because you did something right. I think Ken's there because of that. You referred to him this morning. So Joseph was thrown into jail with all the common criminals. How could such a thing happen? It happens because the world does not understand Christian victory and Christian convictions. The world often doesn't understand, why couldn't you do this thing? Why couldn't you do that? Because of my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, the world crucified Jesus. Why should you and I expect to get off any easier than that? The fifth place. When you do right, this is my concluding point. When you do right, God will honor you. Always remember that. You will have God's approval. God will be with him. And even in jail, God showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. In fact, the same thing happened in prison that was happening before. The warden finally said, well, you can run the prison better than I can, young man. Go for it. The prisoners are even more calmed down. The prisoners even are no longer angry at each other. I think Joseph just had a way of appeasing things. Why? God was with him. He was a young man that was able to say no to the temptations of life. But because of his faithfulness, he lost his job. He lost his freedom. He lost his reputation, if you please. Again, the world won't always just be pleasing you because you stood for what's right. Joseph appears to be a ruined man. I have seen many a young man that seemed to be ruined, but when God got a hold of his heart, he just turned him around. God was with him. That story, this account here, proves to me that God honors those who dare to say no. It may not always appear that way, but God honors those who can say no to temptation. God will take care of all the details. We don't have to think it all, plan it all out. Joseph wasn't planning out, now what's he going to do now? And he has to connive this and he has to connive that. No, he just left it to God. Let God work out the details. It's always better to do right the first time. Then there's no regrets. There are many things in life that are worse than going to jail for doing right. And one of them is to be freed from a prison of a guilty conscience. And I suppose most of us know what that's about. To live with a guilty conscience. I've been there myself. It is better to do right and sleep well than to toss and turn because you couldn't say no. Joseph knew who he was. Do you know this morning who you are? What would you do? What have you done? What have you been doing with temptation that comes into your life? And so there's four things to remember when you're tempted. Number one, don't forget who you are. You're a man or woman of God. And don't be surprised when temptation knocks on your door. And don't be deceived by persuasive voices. Ah, come on. It's not that bad. Ever face that young man? Ever face that young girl? Ah, forget it. Your mom and dad are a little bit old foggish anyway. Don't be deceived by persuasive voices. Follow close to the Word of God. You will never go wrong. And the fourth thing is, don't be confused by immediate results. The immediate results many times aren't right. Just say no. If we're going to be victorious over temptation, we must do what Joseph did when Potiphar's wife came along. And so when you're tempted to do wrong this week, just say no. I serve God. I can't do that. Just remember who you are and just say no. It has to go on somewhere else. And when you feel like giving someone a piece of your mind, just say no. I can't do that. I can't go there. You don't have a piece to spare anyway. Just grin and bear it. Human nature is, I've got a pretty good idea. And so I push and I shove. Just say no to that. Life is too short to be filled with confusion and turmoil. And when your mind plays tricks on you and says, go ahead, no one will see you, just say no. No, God sees everything. And when it's 5:30 in the evening, and the children are cranky, and your husband isn't home yet, and supper isn't ready, and the house is filled with dirty socks and dirty diapers, before you lose your cool, just say no to that temptation. I'm not going there. Life will go on. It's not the end of the world. And when you find yourself down and out, up against the wall and under the pile, when nothing goes right for you, think, and you're hopelessly entangled, and maybe you see no way out of the situation, the mess you're in, before you say something you shouldn't say, or do something you shouldn't do, and later regret, just say, no, God loves me anyway. He knows where I'm at. I can rest in Him. So in the end of life, do you really know who you are and what you are like? Show me your prayer.